Above their sleeping heads hung the wedding photo. It had hung there before any of the children were even born. Walnut, Pine Tree, and Lucy would sleep in a row, pressed up against Mama's soft warmth. The spot on the bed closest to the door was left empty, so that whenever he got home, the children wouldn't stir. That was their Baba, of course. There they were, Mama and Baba, a part of history. It was still the good part, Mama in a red dress, her hair shiny and voluminous, her lips the color of jewels. With a curl above his brow and the wedding studio's white suit on, that was the happiest Baba had ever looked. He never smiled like that in real life. The family lived in a one-bedroom apartment on the second floor of 24 Mott Street. Mama and Baba, with two boys and a baby girl, who started out as toddlers at the Catholic preschool on Moscow Street. As they grew taller, they walked past the screaming babies on their way to elementary school and looked down their noses at those maniacs. Each morning, they stood beside the deep kitchen sink that they had once bathed in, tickling one another with their elbows and squishing toothpaste foam between their toes. If the telephone on top of the fridge rang, the tangled cords stretched over their wet heads, and together they screamed with delight at the thought of being electrocuted. Each afternoon, Walnut, Pine Tree, and Lucy walked the path through Roosevelt Park, leaning on the partition to watch the kites go up over the shrubs on Forsyth. It did not yet boggle their minds that the insides of those things that fly also look like the insides of those that swim. They had yet to question why the bones of a fish could look like the bones of a kite. They had not known to wonder how far to look back in history for the connection. Instead, the three children raced up the stairs to the window to count the black cars that lined Moscow Street for funerals four times a week, because Pine Tree said that the more black cars there were, the more that dead person was loved. These streets held their first universe. Under this patch of sky, where melting ice slid over the sidewalks and cars competed for space with supermarket carts teetering with recycling, that was all there was. It went on this way for a long time, until the children got their first bunk beds and their world stretched upward to the brass ceiling tiles. When he turned 13, Walnut wordlessly installed a curtain across the room with his disproportionately large hands. From then on, the children no longer saw Mama and Baba before they drifted off to sleep. But in the years when all five slept on the same piece together bed in the same room, Lucy would often wake in the dark to see Baba climbing under the covers beside Mama, and she guessed that that was the reason why it was she and not her brothers who felt closest to him. As their bodies grew larger, the empty space around them grew thick and heavy with riches they brought inside to make theirs. Blue jeans, comic books, two computers, and a stuffed dog that told jokes. Walnut helped Baba make room for a wardrobe that would partly block the doorway to the bedroom so that they had to turn sideways in order to walk through. There was nowhere for clothes to disappear to, except for when they were drying, which was done either out on the fire escape or up on the black tar roof. Old bricks held onto the nails that carried their washcloths, fly swatters, and supermarket calendars, as well as the antenna that allowed the television to see all the way to China. The front door began to stay open to let fresh air flow through the hallways, past the neon-colored bins where they kept their meager treasures, day after day, until the plastic lost its brightness. Soon there wasn't enough room for all of them inside, and Lucy took her time, studying the tiny cardboard iPhones and sports cars in the funeral parlor's windows, before she walked past Mama, who played poker with the other ladies on the corner of Mulberry and Bayard, under the lights of the 24-hour parking lot. Whenever one of them entered the apartment, they avoided the other's eyes as a courtesy. Walnut was always chatting on his laptop, and even though he would have liked to be outside, Pine Tree didn't have a fixie bike or a skateboard, so eventually he had to do what Walnut did and play on another laptop. Then Walnut got glasses. Pine Tree broke his wrist, Lucy needed braces, and Baba had to take a second job at a mechanic shop deep enough into Brooklyn that they never saw him. That was the year they started calling him Dad.